Pulavinaka. It's Fiji Language Week this week, and the theme for this year is My Language Anchors My Culture. I'm not even going to try and attempt to say it in Fijian. It's spelt to me anyway one way on paper, and the way you pronounce it is something totally different. Okay, so yes, the Fiji Language Week, it provides an opportunity for students to learn, speak, and celebrate the indigenous language of Fiji through language, song, dance, and cultural displays and community events. Fiji Language Week helps all New Zealanders journey towards shared cultural understandings. Learning a new language gives us insight into new ways of thinking and to different beliefs and cultural practices. Yes, welcome to Te Ama Pacific Health Radio. Te Ama is a radio show promoting wellness and well-being for our Pacific people. Yes, and last week we were so blessed to have Matua Bates in the studio with us. And today, right now, right here, right now, we are even more blessed to have Matua Bates right here in the studio with us again. Currently, Matua is the Pacific Integration and Development Services Manager for Alliance Health Plus, where she is committed to fairness and making sure our Pacific people and people with high needs get access to the same opportunities as the rest of us, as the rest of our population, resulting in better health outcomes across Aotearoa and the Pacific. So yes, she'll be sharing with us her role and also what Alliance Health Plus is all about, because I understand they have a lot of locations Auckland-wide. Matua will also be sharing with us what she's been up to in the past week, and also she'll be sharing with us a couple of health conferences she attended overseas in the beautiful Pacific just recently. There was the Pacific Medical Association Conference in Niue, and also the annual Cook Islands Health Conference in beautiful paradise. Yes, okay, Matua is passionate and highly experienced leader and senior manager with an extensive background leading key research, health and community initiatives to support nationwide policy objectives and goals. You know, Matua's been instrument, a huge help for mum and myself in starting, this little community initiative we're doing with Te Ama. So she, I vouch for that big time. She is capable of creating mutually beneficial partnerships and relationships with multiple external agencies, with the ability to work at all levels of the organisation, from the executive management level through to the front line, the cold front staff, committed to the support and development of Pacific peoples. That's it for our Pacific Island communities. Once again, as I was saying last week, we established with Metua a good and better understanding of who she is, her upbringing, her journey, and the various roles she has had in the health sector. What a journey thus far for Metua. And for those that missed last week's Tala Tala Noa conversation, not to worry, you can still find it online on the Planet FM website. And you know, I just mentioned to Metua prior to coming online that I caught up with a good friend of mine last night. He's a Fijian, close friend of mine, Penny, and I just mentioned to him that about my guest today, Metua Bates. And you know, he actually he mentioned to me last night, and I was quite surprised that he knows Metua. My friend used to work for the Fiji and Auckland Association about 10 years ago, and that's how he got to know her. She'll pop in and catch up. But also, their connection goes way back to the 90s. My friend's mum, her name's Mele. Yeah, we got the same names. Penny's mum, Mele Samusamu Vondre, she was involved in health back in the 90s, and she used to work alongside Metua Bates. So, what a small world. That's enough of me talking. Kia rana, Metua, thank you for being here again. How are you?
Kia ora, Mele. Thank you so much for that lovely welcome. I'm really good, thank you. And we've just heard again just a revision of what happened last week. So thank goodness we've got that out of the way.
Yes.
And so now I just want to share with you for a few minutes about what I'm currently doing. So Mele introduced me as the Pacific Integration Development Services Manager.
Yes.
So that was the name I came to about 20 months ago when I started with Alliance Health Plus. But yes, over the last few months, probably 6 months or so, we've changed our team name. We had a little strategic planning session, and we changed the title of our team and my title to Pacific Equity Manager, because that's a real priority since this Labor government came in. And so we wanted to reflect that priority in the work that we're doing at Alliance Health Plus, the primary healthcare organisation. So it is the Pacific PHO. It's the only Pacific PHO in the country.
Okay.
And we are really blessed to have a strong governance board and a senior management team that is committed to transforming the health and well-being of Pacific and high-needs communities here in Auckland and wherever else we can have influence.
Yes.
So we have about 36 practices, practitioner practices, primary care practices, mostly in counties, ADHB, and just starting to get into the West Auckland area.
Yes.
And between those 36 practices, there are about 110,000 enrolled patients, and 35% of those are Pacific, 15% Māori, and yes, the rest Asian and other populations. So that's the diversity of the populations that we serve.
That's a lot of patients, eh? I mean, wow.
Yes.
Metua, what those practices that you guys provide, Auckland-wide, can you share with us some of the services that are provided?
Sure. Well, for the practices, we have a clinical network team of practice advisors, and they assist the practices with things like cornerstone accreditation.
Okay.
So making sure that the practices run to optimum standards and practices and policies. And then, of course, they get funded to carry out certain clinical primary care activities. And so our practice advisors support the practices with things like what they do with the funding that they get from government for each of their enrolled patients, mental health activities, immunizations, dealing with epidemics, outbreaks, measles, mumps.
Yes, yes.
And there's a captive audience there that primary care can have a vital role in preventing from progressing to secondary and tertiary health services.
You know, I went to my local GP in Papatoa a few days ago. You know, I just wanted to get, you know, I was just curious about getting vaccinated for the measles. They had no more...
Your vaccines.
Yeah. You know, and I was thinking, man, you know, there's this... epidemic, eh?
Yes.
And they got no vaccinations. I was like, man, what's going on?
It's coming. Yep, so the Ministry of Health and the DHBs have been working together really well to make sure that it's coming. So there are 100,000 vaccines coming over. In fact, if they haven't arrived, I'd be surprised.
Okay. You know, I'm just going to put some questions out there for you and, you know, correct me if it's not the, you know, right questions, but you mentioned... 110,000 patients and about 30% are PI. Are you able to share with us some of the data in terms of what a lot of those patients need help with in terms of their health?
They're pretty reflective of the Pacific population overall. In fact, last month we were blessed to have Dr. Karina Gray come and present at our Pacific Health and Welfare meeting at Alliance Health Plus, where she shared what our current statistics are. And it's what we all know, you know, obesity and diabetes are up there with cardiovascular disease.
Yes, yes.
you know, they're the top three diseases that our Pacific people suffer from. And interestingly, they're all preventable. Non-communicable diseases, they are labelled. And it's also reflective of the health of our people in the Pacific as well,
unfortunately. Absolutely.
The conferences that I've been to recently reflect that. For many years now, the theme at these conferences continues to be non-communicable diseases because they are preventable.
Absolutely.
Some things we can't do anything about, but we can definitely do things about obesity, diabetes, and
cardiovascular
diseases. Yeah,
absolutely, that's right, Matua. And you touched on that. We touched on that last week towards the end of our show. Like you said, we all know what. If you can remind us again, what in terms of our NTDs, I'm talking specifically about the, you know, our unhealthy diets and that. What do we need to do to help buckle the trend and help to live healthier lives?
Yeah, look, people often talk about health literacy as being an issue, that if people only knew what the issues were. So it's easy to get lulled into thinking, yes, we just need to let people know. We need to give them education and tell them. Yes, that is definitely something we need to do. But interestingly, that's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing is not enough. It's important to keep sharing that message with people. But the messages are quite simple. You know, it comes back to nutrition and physical activity.
Absolutely.
Getting sufficient rest.
Yes.
And these are things that some of us are raised in our churches.
Yes.
You know, there are 8 basic laws of health where if you just focus on that, chances are you probably won't suffer from these diseases and... you know, just living simply, making sure you get lots of fresh air and sunshine, activity. Unfortunately, our modern lifestyle doesn't support that kind of simple, healthy living. And so it does actually take effort for people to consider how they live their lives That's why we have the epidemics we have at the moment, because we're so busy that we are not kind of carefully planning how we live our lives. We're often just reacting.
Yes.
And so I think there's a need to get back to living simply.
Absolutely. You couldn't have... Well said, mentor. And, you know, like you said, for me, you know, I've got a couple of NCD issues, and, you know, I've got diabetes type 2, and I know, you know, I know what I need to do to get my health back in at where it should be. But for some reason, especially coming back here to Auckland, you know, the takeaways and the it's so easy to fall back into their mindset.
Yeah. So that's where the role of the government comes in, of course. You know, like, there are certain things that only we can do to help our progress. But the government equally has a responsibility to provide the right kind of environment. So things like how many takeaways are in poor neighbourhoods, that's definitely the responsibility of governments. Because as much as we might try to live simply, it's very hard when you live next door.
There's a takeaway right next door.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mator, you know, I just mentioned to you just prior to coming online how thankful I was to have met you in Pulotu, you know, a couple of months ago in Raro, back in Raro, and you guys helped link me in with the right people back over there to get involved in work in health. You know, that's my passion, working in health. And would you like to touch on that health conference?
Sure. I mean, talk about NCDs. There were some quite significant things that happened at the conference for the very first time. So, for example, well, they didn't just talk about what we need to be doing to address NCDs. So what happened during our breaks when we have our meals is, instead of the standard size dinner plate,
that's right,
we got a bread and butter plate. That's your meal plate for breakfast, lunch and dinner. That's your dinner plate, is that little plate, because actually that's all we need. We don't need that gigantic dinner plate, which we tend to overfill anyway. And it was water only.
Yes.
And there was a little bit of sugar around,
yes.
But not much. And lots of natural foods, which is not, it's not that easy to do when you're catering for a lot of people, unless you've got access to plantations. So that's why we tend to take the easy options, the easy, cheap options, which are not that healthy. But big ups to the Te Marae Ora, Secretary of Health, Dr. Omia Herman, and her team. Who were very intentional about reducing NCDs, including, as well as that type of eating. The cocktail evening was alcohol-free.
Yes.
And you could tell that was new for people, because not that many people turned up.
That's
so
right.
The conference itself was alcohol-free, smoke-free, water-only, sugar-free. So they were practicing what they were preaching for the very, very first time. And it was impressive. And then clinically, one of the other things that they did was they've begun bariatric surgery. So I think about 10 people volunteered to... be operated on.
What is that?
To have their stomachs reduced in size so that they can lose weight.
Absolutely.
And it's quite a drastic move. It costs a lot of money, but they've found a safer, cost-effective option through Dr. John Dunn. Yep. And that was the Cook Island Conference.
Yes. Thank you. I'll just briefly, we've got a guest here with us. Would you like to introduce yourself? Sorry, are you with Mator?
Whakarovalei atu, kia ora ana, Nesra Bulavinaka, and happy Fijian Language
Week. Happy Fijian Week.
My name is Lorenzo, and I've been co-hosting the show for the last 3 months with Whale Puka. I was just on my way to our meeting, Pacific Health and Welfare, at 12:30 when I got a text from Whale, "Are you at the station?" And I said, "Okay, I'm going there right now."
Beautiful.
And so, yeah, good to see you, Metua. Also, I would like to take this opportunity to thank you in person for the support. Pacific Health and Welfare for our dance group that participated in a festival in Tahiti from the 18th of September to the 28th of September. And we got back on Tuesday, and it was such a lovely experience. It was such a lovely experience. It was good to see that the culture in Tahiti is still alive and strong. And it was such a good experience for our dance group.
Whereabouts in Tahiti were you?
We stayed in Whaa. In Papa'ete.
Nice.
We went to Mo'orea Island.
Nice.
And we performed at the cultural center in Mo'orea. And the highlight was performing on, you know, at the biggest stage, biggest cultural center in Papa'ete.
Wow.
And that's the highlight of our trip. And got to share.
Was this your church group?
It's a family dance group.
Nice.
And we went to represent Samoa.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a big honour.
You know? Amazing.
Yeah. You know, I came back a different person.
Ooh.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. So it was great. We had 7 performances. We had 3 main festivals and 4 festivals at 4 different schools.
Wow.
So it was an awesome cultural exchange with our brothers and sisters from Tahiti, from Bay of Plenty, Opotiki, or Arafiti, Kapahaka group. We also had a group from Rapa'iti. We had a group from Makaisas. And, yeah, so there was 5. There was 5 Polynesian islands.
And what's the health of people like in Tahiti?
Very healthy. Yeah. You know, as you can see that I came back skinny.
Yeah.
I lost 5 kilos. To be very, very honest, we came back and our families were like, "Did you guys eat well in Tahiti? Because you guys have come back, you know, black and skinny." And we said, "No, they looked after us in terms of our health. Their diet is different from what we know from the diet that we have here.
Right.
They have salads for lunch, and they have salads for dinner. You don't see taro on the table."
Wow.
No taro, yeah. So my baby loves taro. I had to go in and buy taro from the supermarket and cooked it myself. I didn't see taro on our dining table for lunch. You know, for the 12 days we were there, no taro, just you know, fresh bread with a salad and that little portion of meat.
Mm.
So
nice.
They are really, really good at looking after their diet.
Excellent. Wow, how about that, eh? So in the islands, they're learning how to look after their
absolutely.
Their bodies. Yeah, and we need to take a leaf out of their book, okay? Natural.
Absolutely.
Natural.
Eat natural. And, yeah, you know, things like taro are okay, but just not in huge
not every day,
amounts.
Eh?
Not every day and not in the volumes that we tend to eat it in. Yeah.
Look, we're going to go for have a little quick break, play a nice song for us, and we'll come back and continue this talanoa.
Certain things you just can't refuse. She wanna ride me like a cruise, and I'm not trying to lose. Then you're left in the dust, unless I stuck by ya. You're the same. Think your love would be too much, or you'd be left in the dust, unless I stuck by ya. You're the sunflower. You're the sunflower.
Ya no sé lo que tú tienes, cómo haces lo que quieras con mi vida. Tú te vas y luego vienes. Yo no sé qué tienes tú, pero a la vez yo pienso que no me convienes. A veces trato de cada parte de tu cuerpo.
buscándote.
Kia ora and welcome back to Te Ama. We have Matua Bates with us and also Lorenzo. Let's have Lorenzo here in the studio from East Tamaki Healthcare and PHW. Okay, Matua, this man, I've seen some photos. You guys look like having so much fun there on the rock in your wear. Apart yes. from, you know, I was so jealous when I saw all the food there. I was like, man. But, if you can share with us, you know, what you guys are hoped to achieve getting together there in, on the rock.
Sure. So, you know, again, The Rising Tide was the title of the PMA conference at the Scenic Matavai Resort in Niue from the 24th to the 26th of September. So Pacifica Medical Association has been running these conferences for about 24 years.
Yes.
And so they usually have 1 year in New Zealand, the next year in the Pacific, and next year back in New Zealand.
Yes.
And so on. And this year it was in Niue. 2 years ago it was in Numia. So a key instigator of this is Dr. Colin Tukuitonga, who's an original founding member of PMA.
Okay.
So Colin, very proudly being Niuean, led the charge on this particular conference. It was called The Rising Tide.
Yes.
And two key focus areas were climate change and NCDs, reducing non-communicable diseases.
Absolutely.
There were some amazing presentations from young people who are doing their PhDs. It was really well supported by Health Research Council. Sponsors were Alliance Health Plus, ProCare, two PHOs,
yes.
the Social Services Department of Health of Niue, of course, and SPC, where Colin is just leaving his final post as the head of SPC, very soon to be taken over by an Australian. It was also strongly supported by the Royal College of a Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Psychiatrists. There were 10 psychiatrists at that conference, so a very strong emphasis on mental health.
Yes.
And we can see from the current government in New Zealand how important mental health
yes.
is. Because of the funding that's been put into
there. Reflects on the budget, in the funding budget, eh?
Yep, the recent review.
Absolutely.
And then the He Ara Oranga, the review that came out from the group that went around the country.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I think the opportunity to have this on the island of Niue,
yes.
where we could see how people live, was really, really important. You know, the people of Niue are quite different to the people in Samoa and Tonga and the Cook Islands. It was a very peaceful, soothing, relaxing time. The people are so hospitable and generous. Not that they're not on the other islands, but they're just like that in a different kind of way. Niue is quite unspoilt.
Yes.
Compared with the Cook Islands, for example, which is very tourist-focused.
Absolutely.
We were blessed to have the Prime Minister of the Cook Islands and his wife.
Yes.
And the High Commissioner, Cook Islands High Commissioner from Wellington, Elizabeth Wright Kotika, who were there at the conference with us. And they, you know, remarked at how amazing the atmosphere was. You know, you're kind of captive on the island because there's only two flights in and out each week. So you can't say, okay, tomorrow I'm going back to civilization.
A few days too.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a lovely place to make the most of. There was a little bit of technology, but just enough. And the opportunity, networking, of course, is the greatest opportunity at these things, where you get to hear people doing their presentations, but then you can talk to them afterwards and catch up on the details of things that people are working on. And, yes, so there were presentations on what's happening in the NCD space, both in New Zealand and in the Pacific.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking, what's the best thing to focus on? I guess, you know, at the end of the day, the relationships that we forged yes. are really, really important. And that was really obvious to me last night because I had the opportunity to attend in Wellington last night at the Grand Hall of Parliament, the Otago University's launch of their journey over the last 10 years. So they've launched a book called Te Whalaunga.
Sorry, where was this at all?
It was held in Wellington at the Grand Hall of Parliament.
Gee, you get around. Been quite busy with your travelling.
Yes, well, you know, you've got to be out there and to yes. be seen. People yes. need to know you exist.
Yeah, absolutely.
In order to work together. Yes. And it is really important because I met so many people who were there at the conference from Nuwhere. And, you know, some of them in Nuwhere was the first time I'd met them. So, for example, Dr. William May from Fiji School of Medicine, yes. who's responsible for the workforce for medical,
yes.
Nursing and other health workforce, developing the students,
yes.
Caught up with him. The Miskulena doctors, so yes. Based in Wellington, there's a family who have opened a general practice, the Mizukilena family, and the father is a doctor, the mother is a nurse, Nguyen, father, Dr. Arbutus Mizukilena, their mum, Mire, is a nurse, Samoan, and then the three children, two boys and a girl, all general practitioners, and they all went through Otago.
What a success story right there.
Oh,
eh?
Absolutely. You know, Elvin represented the family in Nuwhere. And he actually collected a PMA service award on behalf of his dad in Nuwhere as well. And of course, there's Dr. Debbie Ryan and many others from our providers, South Seas Healthcare, Dr. Andrew Chan-Mao. A lot of our people who've been through Otago University. Whawena yes. Associate Professor Whaifetai Sopo'anga yes. headed the Division of Health, Pacific Division of Health Sciences 10 years ago. And so this book was her edit of the journey over the last 10 years. And
it's is that the name of the
Te Whalaunga.
Te Whalaunga, the journey.
The journey.
Amazing.
Yeah, so it was an amazing pictorial as well as narrative journey of where they've come from and all the people. I mean, it wasn't all-inclusive, but, you know, yes. it just touched on a few of the people who've been there, and there are many, many people, families, who've been there. And our Alliance Health Plus's yes. interest in attending is that we were featured in the book because last year we just started, we have an internship program, and for the first time we signed a memorandum of agreement with Otago University,
yes.
all the way down in Dunedin,
yes.
To start interning some of their students at our PHO. So for the very first time we hosted Rhonda Tomasi, our first student, November and December last year, and she worked on a nice. Literature review for us around Pacific resiliency, which is one of the projects our Pacific Equity team are working on for Alliance Health Plus. And as well as her, there's Dr. Malama Tafunai, who's doing a research project on dialysis, comparing what's happening in Samoa to Samoan patients there and what's happening for Samoan patients here in primary care. So we are very, very blessed to have had these two students from Otago, and we look forward to seeing many, many more. And, of course, there are others of our providers who are there, the Whanau, South Seas Healthcare, Moana Research, many, many of our providers who are also taking on students. So for me, what really stood out from last night was the collaboration that is vital for us to progress rapidly
absolutely.
Instead of slowly. We do need to progress rapidly. We've been around, the Pacific health sector has been around for a long time, since at least the 80s, if not before
absolutely.
That. You know, my time started in the 80s, but there are others who have been there long before
yes.
me, and their children are still in the health and wellbeing sector. So I think what really stood out for me was the need for us to work together, to collaborate. There's no need for us to compete with each other.
Mm.
We're a small sector. Yeah. And so, you know, we need to get over our egos and remember why we're doing what we're doing.
Exactly.
You know,
the why.
When you introduced me, you talked about collaborative, bringing people together. That is my passion, is connecting people, because I think we can do it easy or we can do it hard. And the easy way is for us working together. We all have our different niches. We don't need to be duplicating things. We don't need to be stepping on each other's toes. And so if we just hold hands and work together,
absolutely,
I think we can cover every facet of health from the cradle to the grave.
Absolutely.
And, you know, give the best of who we have so that our people
can benefit.
Yeah, prosper.
Prosper,
abundantly.
Thrive.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, God's given us the talents to use for his purpose and for the benefit of our people, not for ourselves.
Absolutely, Matua. You know, when I look at you, certain people within the health sector, you know, the heart and the reason of what you guys do inspires me. And that's our people, our community, you know. Everything else, they're kind of not in that circle. It's no good. Matua, you know, I really want to touch on this new direction you're heading into, you know, and I'm really happy too because, you know, for myself, be a lot closer to you, but not, I'll leave it to you to share with our, you know, loyal audience your new direction.
Thank you, Benamele. So, yes, on this Saturday, the 12th of October, sadly, I'll be leaving Alliance Health Plus. And I say sadly because I've had an amazing 20 months with them. They're an amazing organisation who are absolutely committed to transforming the health and well-being of our Pacific and high needs population. So please support them in whatever way you can.
Yes.
You know, some of the work that we've been doing is working with our churches, with our Healthy Village Action Zones, of which Lorenzo's church is part. Mm. Yeah. 14 Samoan churches, 14 Tongan churches, working alongside ProCare and Inuola, the Whakono and their churches. So collectively over 70 churches between us all across the Auckland region. And that's amazing work, working with our communities directly, our church ministers and their health committees, and empowering them to access health providers and agencies and services so that they take responsibility with our support for
absolutely
improving their health. Again, living simply. And then we have we support our Pacific providers through funding from the Ministry of Health.
Yes.
We have a positive parenting active lifestyles program which focuses on reducing childhood obesity, so that's our contribution to reducing obesity starting with children under five. We have an integrated services contract with ADHB, which is packaging a whole bunch of contracts to almost, it's like a Whānau Water packaging type, where you go into the house, someone's unwell, and then you are able to work with other family members, make sure they're all connected to primary care and that each of their conditions are served well. So you've got a whole family who you're working on rather than just individuals. Working on our resilience project as well, which I alluded to before.
Yes.
Yeah, lots of really, really exciting things happening in Alliance Health Plus. But my next journey is on Saturday, my mum and I will be leaving to go back to my birthplace where I was born in Aomori, Aitutaki in the Cook Islands. So when you go to the Cook Islands, you'll start off at Rarotonga, the main island, and then it's a 45-minute trip on the plane to Aitutaki, the pearl of the Pacific. It's been called heaven on earth.
It's been called the most beautiful island in the world.
Oh, I'm sure everyone can say that about their own islands. So, but yes, it is a beautiful place, and I'm very proud to have been born there. But I'm more really proud to have the opportunity to go back home and serve my people. For 2 years, I have a contract to manage the hospital in Aitutaki. So I thank God for that opportunity and the Ministry of Health for the privilege of being able to go back and contribute my talents and what I've learnt in my 40-plus years of working in the health sector in New Zealand and Australia.
Yes.
And to be able to raise the standards to contemporary world standards. I'm really proud. I love our hospital and the in Aitsaki, to be world standard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my goal in 2 years, to make sure that it's as good as any place else in the world where you can go. So, yeah, no small thinking, all big picture, and I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to work with our people.
What an amazing, what a huge blessing for the people of the Cook Islands, you know, to have someone of your caliber move back home. Yes. You know, and living in the Cook Islands myself, you know, Auntie, I've noticed a few Cook Islanders returning back home.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
Not just, like, I actually know a few that have, you know, moved their families from NZ, Aussie, or wherever they've been living overseas.
Mm.
They have this burning desire to move back home and just contribute and live their lives back home.
Yeah. Well, you know, congratulations to the Ministry of Health, Dr. Omi Herman, who is really hot on reintroducing the diaspora, as she puts it, inviting them to come back home and serve. So, you know, in the past I've thought, oh, you know, could I commit 1 or 2 years of my life? But her initiative is about saying, well, no, you don't have to spend the whole year here or even 6 months of the year. Just give us a week or a month of your time and you can still stay connected to, you know, where you are, but come home for a holiday and during that holiday give us every expertise you have to give. Yeah,
absolutely.
So, you know, we all know there's not a lot of money in the islands, but it's not always about money, you know.
The lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. And more importantly, there are, best 25,000 people back home.
That's right. Yes.
18,000 people back home.
Yes.
Whereas in New Zealand, there's 60,000 Cook Islanders. Who knows? I'm not sure of the Australian figures or elsewhere in the world.
Could be more, yeah.
But, yeah, why not give back to our people? Because there are so many, many more of us in New Zealand and other places that have such expertise to be able to give back. So, yeah, I'm so privileged.
Absolutely. Hey, Matul, we only got a few minutes left on air. Is there anything else you'd love to... You know, I'd love to share with our listeners, our people back here in Auckland.
I really want to acknowledge and thank all of those that I've worked with over the last 44 years of my career here in New Zealand. All of you, whether you realise it or not, have been an impact in helping me to do the things that I do. You know, you can... do what you do, but if you get discouraged and you feel like I'm not really making a difference in the world, it's very easy to not continue. But the reason I've been able to achieve as much as I have is because of everyone that I've known. There's been an influence in my life, from, you know, children to their parents to grandparents. I love working in the health sector now. I come across young people who, when we're talking to each other, I go, okay, I used to work with your mother or father or your auntie or your uncle or your grandfather even. So that kind of shows my age. But that's what I love about Pacific health work. It's intergenerational. And so that's where, you know, what we're doing is not just a job.
Yes.
We're in this as a vocation. This is a life, not a sentence, but a life a life commitment. Mm. We're not in this just for the dollar. We're in this to make a difference in the lives of our future generations now, because we can, and because God has given us the responsibilities and the talents to go with those responsibilities to be able to utilize the resources that are here on this earth well, to the benefit of our people. So it's incumbent on each and every one of us to use our resources and our talents well, so that God can multiply the impact. Let's continue to work together. Let's not compete and fight against each other. Let's hold hands, because there's plenty of work to go around.
Absolutely.
Let's continue to develop our young people from the time they're born throughout their lives, because as each and every one of us benefits and prospers, the rest of us will I just encourage parents to continue to support our young people in their journey, whether you're studying or working. We all have a contribution to make. So thank you, everyone. I won't name you because we'll be here all day. We don't have that much time. Yes. But you know who you are. You know that you've been a part of my life. I'm really grateful to my family who have supported me or not.
Yes.
Not everybody has been a support, but even those who haven't supported me have been a boost because, I talked about knockers last time. And sometimes they're equally as motivating as the supporters.
Absolutely.
Because you think, well, okay, if you think I can't make it, let me show you that I can.
Do it twice, take a picture.
Yeah, so thank you, Mili Mili. Thank you so much to you and your mum, Fali, for the opportunity to share with our people. And to all of you out there, I wish you many, many blessings from our Father in Heaven. Please look after yourselves and your families. And I look forward to coming back in a couple of years. And hearing about the progress that we've made in our house.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much, Matua, for popping in again. Really appreciate you. And God bless, all the best with your future endeavours, the work you want to be doing back home.
Unless I stuck by ya, you're a sunflower. I think your love would be too much, or you'd be left in the dust. Unless I stuck by ya, you're the sunflower. You're the sunflower.
Yo no sé lo que tú tienes, cómo haces lo que quieras con mi vida. Tú te vas y luego vienes. Yo no sé qué tienes. Think your love would be too much, or you'd be left in the dust. Unless I stuck by you, you're a sunflower, you're a sunflower.
Ese día que te conocí, no sabía que iba a ser así. El girasol más lindo del jardín. Y verte en el amanecer, con un beso volví a caer. Dime a dónde se fue, a dónde se fue. Y ahora me quedo con la confusión, con sentimientos de amor y dolor. Te juro que esa no fue mi intención. La flor de antes cambió de color. En mi vida solo existes tú. Baby, tell me what we're trying to prove. Si tú sabes que yo soy tu luz. Just too much, and you'll be left in the dust unless I stop by you. You're the sunflower. You're the sunflower.